Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ. How often do you watch your favorite movie? Or maybe it's your favorite TV show. For some of you, it may even be your favorite book that you've kept in your library for forever. And you read it maybe once a year. You go back and reread it again because it's just full of principles and encouragement that you need to be reminded of every year. I remember Peter in 2 Peter tells the people that he's writing to that he's writing to remind them of these things. I remember as a child, my favorite movie when it came out was The Lion King. And of course I was, 5 years old, maybe somewhere in there. But we would watch it and I'd be sitting in front of the TV and it would be day after day. And of course this is when we had VHS, okay? All you young people here. VHS, where you had to sit and wait for it to rewind before you could play it again. But I remember my older siblings saying, "Can we watch something else? I'm so tired of The Lion King and this circle of life. Let's move on." And I remember my mom yelling from the kitchen, "Just let him watch it so I can cook dinner. I don't want him climbing all over me." So we had those arguments going on in our household. But we watch our favorite things, we watch our favorite movies, we read our favorite books, we do this to remind ourselves of either the story that we love or the truths and the principles that are within them. We do the same thing with our Bibles. We read and we reread over and over again, and sometimes we find a new little nugget or something that we just hadn't seen before. But we do it to remember. If we're going to be kind, as we talk about God completing us, completing our character, and completing our character with kindness, we need to remind ourselves of God's kindness. Multiple times within Scripture, this word pops up. Kindness, loving kindness. Sometimes it's translated as gentleness. Sometimes it's just translated as love at various places. But it's this loving kindness of God that His people need to remember over and over again. In Psalm 31, verse 21, David says, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has wondrously shown His kindness," or steadfast love, "to me." In Psalm 26, in verse 3, "For Your kindness is before my eyes." God has proven to be one who is slow to anger, but one who is willing time and time again to show His loving kindness to mankind, specifically to His people. But we also see in Titus chapter 3, which was read for us just a moment ago, the fact that He showed us kindness when sending us our Savior. In verse 4 it says, "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." I want to stop there for just a moment. Notice that the kindness was shown to us. Why? Not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. You see, if you go back up to verse 3, Paul reminds Titus and his readers, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." When you look at this world today, isn't that what's taught? Isn't that what's shown? Being plain hateful, hating one another. It seems like we're just becoming more and more desensitized to school shootings. It was just a prayer request this morning about a young man that was within the shooting in the middle school that was that went through that this past week. And I'm almost to the point where it's just a normal thing to hear about. And that's sad, isn't it? Sad to recognize that these horrible things are coming up time and time again, and we're just desensitized to it. Well, it happened again. We need to be those who are kind. If we want to see a world that is kind, guess what? We're going to have to do our part and show kindness to the world. Even though people are wronging us, even though people are stealing, even though people are hurting us with their words, what do we return? Do we return hate? Do we return mocking? Do we return all those things? Or do instead, we return kindness and we help them? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 has a similar message from Paul as he wrote to Titus. In chapter 2, starting in verse 1, he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in what? In kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Remember the kindness of God. Remember the loving kindness that he has shown to you. No matter how horrible you may have been, no matter how many sins you may have committed, no matter what horrible deeds you may have done, God has shown his kindness, his mercy, his grace towards you and his Son, so that you can have salvation, so that you can have the surpassing riches of his grace. Don't forget it. And as we remember the kindness of God, it should encourage us to be kind ourselves. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 29. As we walk this Christian walk, we're reminded, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Have you ever seen a skyscraper or a big hotel that was imploded, demolished? It was set to be destroyed because they wanted to build something new in its place, or maybe something bigger and grander. And you think about how long it took to resurrect or to erect one of those things and to build it up and to put it there in the middle of New York or Las Vegas in these huge cities. And yet, in just a moment, it can all come crashing down. As soon as they push that button, it implodes and it falls down. And you can get on YouTube and watch some of these videos of these buildings being destroyed in that way, being demolished. It's impressive how quickly it can happen. We can do the same thing to our friends, to our family, to our neighbors, to the people we love, by saying unkind words or unwholesome words, as he calls it here. The importance of our words and actions is amazing to me. Because a lot of times we just think about ourselves, right? We're just focused in the moment. Mike had a good class this morning, and towards the end he mentioned just the busyness that we have, how busy we get and how focused we are in what we're doing, that we don't care at all about anyone else that might be around us, and how quickly we can snap at someone, how quickly we can say a word that discourages them, that puts them down, and we leave it at that. How about we take the time to build others up? You see, that's what God is doing with each and every one of us. Through His Son, He is building us up. He's creating us in this new likeness of His Son, so that we can share the gospel with others, so that we can in turn build one another up. It's wonderful to see everyone that's here this morning. I know we have a lot of people that are traveling of our own number that are normally here. But there's a lot of you that are here today because you're traveling and you've traveled to this destination. The kindness that we see in the church is a beautiful thing. Isn't it wonderful to be able to travel somewhere and show up at a congregation that you may or may not have attended before, but you're welcomed. You're welcomed with open arms. People are glad to see you. They're happy you're here. They want to know you. They want to get to know you. I think about the kindness that is shown even just in a Bible class setting. I don't remember who told me this story, but I know it happened here. I don't remember all the people involved, but I was told about a time when a child was in a Bible class and the teacher was teaching and she asked for prayer requests. And this child raised his hand and asked for prayers for his mom. I don't remember what it was for. It was something that his mom hadn't asked prayers for from the rest of the congregation. But he mentioned it in class. And his teacher, later on that afternoon, brought food to his mom and to their family because of what had been going on in their life. Just those simple acts of kindness can build others up, can encourage one another. It doesn't have to be something huge. It doesn't have to be something big. Even just a small word of encouragement. When you see some of these young men getting up and giving lessons and leading prayers or reading scripture, and I can't tell you enough how much that has molded me. When I first started leading prayers, I had no idea what to do. You see the card in front of you that's in the seat? A lot of times I would grab that card and I would write out my prayer on it. And I would come forward and I'd have my prayer all ready to go and I would read it as I prayed because I was so nervous. I had no idea what to say or what to do. And I had one of the elders come up to me afterwards and thank me for the prayer and encourage me and build me up with that. Take those moments. It's not a lot. That's just a few seconds. There's going to be times where maybe you have to sacrifice a little bit more than that to be kind to someone. But within the church, we are to be those that are building one another up. If you skip back in chapter 4 to verse 15, it says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." One more thing I want to add to this is sometimes it's not always that encouraging, kind word that we leave with someone. Sometimes it can occur with a confrontation. I'm reminded of a story of someone traveling in Israel and looking and exploring the Holy Lands, and they come across a shepherd and his flock, and they're looking down at him, and all of a sudden the shepherd picks up a rock and throws it and hits one of his sheep right on the head. And the guy says, well, that wasn't very nice. And the guide said, no, that was the kindest thing that shepherd could have done. Because if the sheep would have kept walking forward, he would have been hit by that bus that just drove past us. It can be a simple confrontation, something to show someone you're going the wrong direction. You need to about face. You need to turn around and you need to start going somewhere else. Build each other up, but also take time to say, hey, are you sure this is the place you want to be? Are you sure this is where you're going? Are you sure where you're going is the right direction? Sometimes we need to do that. We need to take the time to help others see that they might not be going the place that they think they are. Next, turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. For as long as I can remember, I've always heard the statement, you can tell, let me get this right, I've got it written down. You can tell a lot about someone by the way they dress. Now, of course, if you're dressed as a soldier and you're in your uniform, well, that's easy to tell. They're a soldier. If you're in a nurse outfit, well, what are you? You're a nurse. If you're wearing your police uniform, you're a police officer. Those things are easy. When you go into a job interview, what are you wearing when you go in? It's easy to tell those who really want the job as opposed to those that are just, well, my mom told me I need to get a job. And they show up in their shorts and their t-shirt and their hair is all wild and crazy and they don't really care about answering the questions. How you dress matters. And you can tell a lot about a person by the way that they dress. Well, here we are in Colossians chapter 3, and what does Paul encourage us to do as Christians? He says, put on, clothe yourself with these characteristics, and one of them being kindness. And kindness involves the right attitude, the right actions, treating people with compassion. It's coming out of a sense of love. Generally, when you think about kindness, it's practicing the golden rule, isn't it? Do unto others as you would want done unto you. If you found yourself in that situation, what would you want someone to do for you? And then go and do it. It can be that simple. Keep in mind that kindness is an important characteristic of becoming more like Christ. When you remember what God has done for you, He's shown you that loving kindness. Don't you want to be more like God? If you call yourself a Christian, don't you want to be more like Christ? And kindness is at the heart of it. Doing good deeds, as Paul said in Titus, continue to work and do good, but clothe yourself with kindness. When people see you, when they see how you interact with others, do they describe you as someone who is kind-hearted? We don't usually use that term a lot today, someone who is kind-hearted or tender-hearted, and yet that's what God is calling us to be. If we're ever going to show kindness to other people, we have to be those who have had our hearts changed by God. And then finally this morning, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. This is, of course, the fruit of the Spirit. Verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. You know, kindness is a virtue that is universally admired. When you see someone being kind, it touches you. You recognize it. You want to praise that person. You want to do something for that person because of the kindness that you've seen. Someone mentioned this morning in class that when they let someone go in front of them at the grocery store, that person in turn paid for their groceries. It's interesting, the more kindness you show, how much more kind other people become. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 46 through 48. And here is a challenge given to us that some people read it and they think, oh, there's no way. There's no way I can do this. But listen to the words. Matthew chapter 5, verses 46 through 48. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And of course, when you read that word perfect, you're thinking, I'm not God. I can't be God. But previously in this section, you read the fact that God allows the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And you see how God blesses those, whether they are good or evil. He still cares for them. He still helps them. He still does things for them. And when you think about kindness, Marianne had a great description of it in class today. And that was, you know, being kind means to do something for someone else, not expecting something in return. And when you think about helping those who are enemies, it can be that much more difficult. That's why we love the account of the Good Samaritan, because you see these enemies of one another, the Jew and the Samaritan, how they don't care for one another in normal circumstances, and yet what happens? This Samaritan sees him naked and beaten, and he stops what he's doing to help this man and to take care of him and to do what he can for him. And we see that kindness and we praise that compassion and that kindness. It's our challenge today to be kind just as our Heavenly Father is kind, to be perfect as He is perfect, to show loving kindness to others because He has shown loving kindness to us. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, we are encouraged to have words of grace. The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Let's make sure from now on the words we use are words of sweetness, of grace, that bring salt to the conversation, that help other people instead of tearing them down. Or how about striving to be good in our conduct, to be kind in our conduct. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Skip on down to verse 9 and verse 10. Let us not lose heart in doing what? Doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Constantly doing good. Using kind words. Doing acts of kindness. Maybe how about third? This one might be the most difficult of all. Keeping our mind in check. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You know, a lot of people like to jump to this passage and say, "Do not judge. Let me do whatever I want to do." But that's not what I'm focused on today. Notice what is said here in verses 1 through 5. "Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Let's keep control of our mind. And sometimes we see people and we immediately start making all kinds of judgments. We're thinking about all these things. "Well, I can't believe they wore that here on a Sunday morning." Or, why did they dress like that? Or, "And why are they doing that? I would have done it completely different." And we just roll. It just rolls over and over in our mind as we're looking at other people and we're making these judgments in our minds. Now, it doesn't mean we can't make discernments. We can't make judgments. Even later on in this same chapter, Jesus says you're going to know them by their fruits. You're going to know who these false teachers are. You're going to know who people are by the things that they do. So we have to make judgments. We have to make discernments. That's not the point. What I'm saying is, let's be careful with what we're thinking about, with how we're judging people. What are we doing that may fall in the very same category of what we see them doing? They might be sinning. They might be making a mistake, and they might need to make a change. But how about me? Do I fit in that same category? Am I, as he says in verse 4, being a hypocrite? Let's make sure that we've taken care of our log before we so quickly judge others, and make sure that we can help them and not be a detriment to them. We need to make sure that we are cultivating a sweet disposition, that we can bear kindness. Mike told me after his class this morning, you know, kindness is just such a simple word, such a simple thing. But when you really start digging into it and you start scouring the scriptures and looking at kindness, it's a lot deeper than you would have ever thought. I want to encourage you to continue studying kindness this week. But my challenge to you today is to show kindness to your family. When you're at lunch or when you go home today, make sure that you say something encouraging to them. Make sure that you do something kind for them. Don't let these words fall on deaf ears. Be kind. Because that's what your Heavenly Father expects. Because He is kind. This morning, if you're here and you are ready to receive His kindness, and He has given His Son, He has done everything He can to make it so that you can be forgiven of your sins. His Son bled for you. Are you ready to become a Christian? Are you ready to obey the gospel? Are you ready to repent of the sins that have been holding you back? Are you ready to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? To begin to live a new life, striving to leave all that old filthiness behind, and be someone who is genuinely kind, that is taking on the characteristics of God, allowing Him to complete you as a person. If you're here this morning and you need prayers because you recognize you haven't been very kind. In fact, you've done a lot of hurtful things to your parents or to your brother or sister, and you're wanting help and you're wanting prayers on your behalf, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.